On this week's episode of the Northeast Newscast, we are speaking with Robin Hackett and Anna DeJesus on the topic of medical marijuana industry. Robin is an industry leader based out of Colorado who has done studies on over 4,000 individuals and their response to medical marijuana. Anna DeJesus was involved in the legislation of the medical marijuana in Puerto Rico and now uses CBD oil on her son who has autism and epilepsy. Robin and Anna are speaking today on their experience with medical marijuana, the stigma surrounding cannabis, and what it has done economically for the state of Colorado. We are here today with Anna DeJesus and Robin Hackett. We're going to be talking about the medical marijuana industry. So let's do a little bit of introductions. Robin, go ahead and introduce yourself and your role in the cannabis industry.
I started in Colorado. We were part of the rulemaking. We were involved with the government. We lobbied at the Capitol for cannabis. And then we opened dispensary in 2010. We were instrumental in documenting how 4,000 people responded to cannabis in collation to their disease and injury, and how and what the lab profile of that product was, so that if we solved the problem with one patient, we would be able to solve it with multiple patients. We have medicating protocols using cannabis for 70 disorders.
Wonderful. And Robin is based out of Colorado.
Correct.
Okay. And Anna DeJesus, go ahead and introduce yourself and your role as well.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Yes, like you will say, my name is Anna DeJesus. Actually, I'm here as a mom. I have a kid with autism and epilepsy that actually has been using the product for his condition. And, you know, he's doing so much better. And that's the only reason, the only different reason for he is doing better. Also, I can tell you that I was a lawyer in Puerto Rico, and in that place I had the opportunity to work in the cannabis industry in the island. I actually was the person in charge to write the legislation in the island about the cannabis industry, so I have a little of knowledge in those terms. So I am here in both capacities, but most as a mom that can testify that this product can help persons with different conditions.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, ladies, so much for being here today. Definitely appreciate your time. I want to start with Robin. Let's talk a little bit about, you said you were in charge of documenting how 4,000 people responded to cannabis. So let's talk a little bit about what you have seen.
When we first came into the thing, we thought all we could do is help pain, is really what we believed cannabis would do. But as the individuals started coming in, we saw suffering that we had never seen before. And we were like, wow, can we treat this disorder? And we walked down this path, and I showed people how to get the full benefit of cannabis without the psychoactive effect of THC. We never eliminated THC. It is a very powerful part of this medicine. But we figured out a way to give it to people where they couldn't feel it. And so I could take an 80-year-old grandmother crippled up with arthritis, and I could medicate her, and she'll have never felt high, but she got the full benefit of it. Most people that came to us received 80 to 90% symptom relief through a cannabis regimen.
Okay, so my question with that is, what does that process look like? Because is that maybe low THC levels and high CBD, or how do you administer that without them feeling the effects of THC?
Well, when it comes to head high, THC, of course, is the agonist. Mm-hmm. CBD is an antagonist. It actually takes from the head high. So if we were to pair 1% of CBD to 1% of THC, you're going to feel a little spacey, but not really high. Now, if I go 2%, 3% of CBD to 1% of THC, you don't feel any head high at all. The THC has to be there for the CBD to really work well. Mm-hmm. So we give the THC at bedtime, and the people sleep through the head high. It makes them sleep very sound. They wake up the first 3 days, they feel a little droggy, but not high. So they're actually sleeping through the psychoactive effect. So when people need more THC for pain relief, then we give it to them in their sleep. And it actually lasts till about 3 or 4 o'clock the next afternoon.
And Anna, let's talk a little bit about your experience as a mother.
What my son used what we call CBD 20 to 1, which is 20% of CBD and 1% of THC. Robin said it depends the condition, the cannabinoid that the person is going to use. You know, cannabis can be used for a myriad of conditions. Can be used for anxiety, for depression, for migraine, for PTSD, for epilepsy. But people sometimes just believe that the person is just going to use, like, smoke and that's it. No, no, no. This is something that is being well-researched already, and people know the combinations that you will need for your specific condition. So that's the reason we here in Missouri, we are going to have now the medical cannabis industry, and physicians are going to administer that and going to recommend it. We don't call prescription because it's not a prescription per se, but it's a recommendation of the doctor. So yes, as a mom, I can tell you that my son was having very bad seizures, very regularly too. And when I decide to put that in his treatment, the change is being amazing. He actually is being seizure free for a while. So it's, as a mom, that's what you want for your kid, you know? So it's been an incredible thing to add to his routine. Is in his case, it's just oil that he put under his tongue, but it could be many things. It could be edibles, it could be vapes. So that's the beauty of this. So we are here, I think, Elizabeth, to talk about these things and to talk about my experience with my son, and Robin to talk about her experience. But we want to let people know that this is not a bad thing. Yeah. You know, still like this idea or this prejudice, because we grow up believing that cannabis and marijuana was a bad thing. But actually research and years of people knowing what they're doing tell us that actually this is a good thing. This is a plant that help people. And Robbie can go a little more deep into that. And also it's going to help the economy, this industry. So we kind of want to educate in this program that people don't feel apprehension, that if they have some kind of question, ask. If they feel like they have a condition, they have migraine, they feel depressed, they feel anxiety, go to your doctor or call here or call me or call Robin and ask, because this can save lives. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're looking for. We are looking for a better quality of life. Mm-hmm. We are looking for people feel better. And this simple thing can make the difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is still a very new thing in Kansas City right now, with the passage of Amendment 2. So we're still kind of seeing the beginning steps of getting all of these legislations in place. I do want to talk a little bit more about the stigma. So Robin, can you give us a little bit of insight into maybe some misconceptions about marijuana, cannabis, and what you have seen in your industry?
Well, I think the biggest conception is that people think they're going to be stoned and not be able to get off the couch and not be able to function, and that it would be counterproductive to living a full life. Mm-hmm. When that's not what we saw. What we saw was it gave people pain relief. It gave them antidepressant, and it allowed them to function better in their lives. And now every drug has side effects, everything, including cannabis. But the side effects of cannabis are dry mouth, dry eye, paranoia. Some people will experience that in extreme use. But you can't die from cannabis. You could eat bales of it. The worst effect you would get is that it would induce vomiting, and you would sleep very sound for a day and wake up feeling fantastic. So there's really no dangerous side effects. There's a few, inconveniences with the dry mouth and dry eyes. But way worse. And when you look at most drugs, like for Ina Victoria said, the seizure medicine have very horrible side effects. And when you look at a lifetime on those drugs, most people came to us and the drugs that they were given to help their disorder in time turned on them and their drug became part of the problem. So they came to cannabis looking for solutions, because you spend 20 years on any drug and it is going to destroy your body. And so cannabis is a sustainable relief, that you can live a full life and you can have years of use. You know, for some people, it cured them of cancer. They're living a full life. We had 68 people come to us with an expiration date. They were told they had weeks to months to live, and they were not responding to Western medicine. We put them on a cannabis regimen, and all of them are still alive 5, 6, 7 years later. So it's very exciting what it does for people with no hope. And what we saw was that people came in, they were afraid. Some people wouldn't even tell their family they were using it, because in the family structure, there's that stigma. Then we had very religious people, and they didn't tell the people at their church why they were getting better. Everyone noticed they were getting better, but they were afraid to tell their congregation that they were using marijuana, and they kept it secret. But eventually, they all realized that people were happier to see them doing well and didn't condemn them for how they found that relief. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times we'll counsel whole families together so that families suffer together. You know, it's not just the individual, it's everyone who loves them. Yeah. And so they suffer together, so we brought them all in so that they could embrace this new type of relief, this new type of medicine. Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk a little bit about really how people in Missouri can access this, because I know we just passed legislation, and I think both of you could probably talk about this. So as far as the timeline, application forms to get a patient ID, I think they're accepting patient ID applications until July 4th of this year. So let's talk a little bit about what that looks like in Missouri.
I am here in my capacity as a mom, mm-hmm. But I'm being able to read a little. So I do know that applications are going to be available mm-hmm. In the month of June, and they are going to have a need to be fulfilled by August the 3rd. Mm-hmm. So they are going to have that amount of time to do that, and then the state is going to deliberate to see, because there are certain amount of license that are going to be given to different people. So it's kind of like a competition. You know, you need to prove that you are good enough to sell this product, because, Elizabeth, there is a very important point that we cannot forget. This is still illegal at federal level.
Yeah.
So this is still a narcotic level one at federal level. So the states are allowed to regulate the industry, but because this is still illegal at federal level, the states need to be very careful about it. Mm-hmm. So yes, the Missouri is going to consider all those points. But again, I am very happy. I have the experience in Puerto Rico to work in the industry, and I am very happy that Missouri is embracing this and, you know, being part of this movement, because this is becoming a movement in all the United States and in all Latin America and Europe. Mm-hmm. This is the future. People are not anymore seeing cannabis as a bad thing. Mm-hmm. I always remember, like, my mom, you know, she's 73 years old. She's from another time when cannabis is like a bad word, so you cannot tell people that thing. And now she called me and she said, I saw this news about cannabis. So I saw this, because we are changing the mindset that we used to have, mm-hmm. and understanding that this is not a bad thing. So mm-hmm. we can talk about it. We can embrace it as a good thing. Like we were saying before, sometimes we have legal alcohol and, you know, cigarettes, and those are things that really, really dangerous for the body of a person. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of things involved, you know, in the industry talking. So I am very happy that the state of Missouri is embracing this movement now, and we are going to be able to help people, because this is about that. Yes, this helped the economy. Yes, this is a good thing for the people. But definitely at the end, this is going to save lives. Mm-hmm. And we cannot forget mm-hmm. that. This needs to be our first things to move us toward that direction. So yes.
I wanted to say that, you know, after we watched and documented for almost 7 years some people, what we saw was just nothing short of a miracle. It was like a miracle. And these people started living again and thriving. The first day they would come, it was all they could do. It was the only thing they accomplished that day, was to get out of the house and to come to meet me and to sit down. Within 2 months, they were just coming through. We're on our way, too. People came in. Their clothes were wrinkled. Their hair was a mess. They didn't have the ability to even take care of themselves. And within a few months, they came in. Their hair was fixed. They looked beautiful. Their vibrant skin. And it was really neat to be a part of that. And after watching that many people, if I was to describe cannabis in one word, if I was to describe what I saw in one word, I would use the word humane. There's nothing more humane for people who suffer beyond what they can bear.
So I want to talk a little bit more about that. So you're talking about this massive change in people's lives. How would you determine their regimen, or how would you determine what they needed? I know there's different strains. I know there's different levels and percents of CBD, THC, indica, sativa, all these different these strains. So how do you go about determining what people need when they walk into your doors?
The first thing you want to take into consideration is, you know, if they've never used cannabis before, they need to take a very slow ramping pace. So they want to start small, and they want to wait 3 days before they up their dose. For some reason, there's a 3-day lag in starting your regimen and then seeing the benefit. So a lot of times people will up their dose because they didn't feel something right away. And so we have to teach people that cannabis isn't instant gratification. It isn't an instant solution. It is a prolonged solution. So most people don't start noticing benefit for 3 days. Well, if you haven't been taught that, you're going to go, oh, the first day, well, that didn't work. And you're going to start taking more even the first day. So we tell people to, you know, take a little bit every day. It's far better to take a small amount every day than a bunch once in a while. And so then we have them wait 3 days and then up their dose, wait 3 days, up their dose. Everyone could benefit from a one-to-one. You know, that would be the generic way to treat it. But if somebody has never used it before and they have to be lucid and functional throughout the whole day, we use some form of THC CBD daytime, and then we use the THC at bedtime, just the straight THC. There really is no cure in smoking marijuana. It is part of a regimen, but it is not. You have to eat it to get the full benefit. Tinctures, dropping it under your tongue is a very good application. Anything you eat, you want to hold in your mouth for as long as you can, because you'll get that sublingual dose. The liver slightly degrades it when you swallow it. We try to get as good of a kick out of the mouth as we can, and then you get a second kick from the residual. Microdosing, little tiny doses throughout the day, is really beneficial for people who've never used it before. And so we get them used to it, and we make it fit their lifestyle. Cannabis can be manipulated in a way to enhance your lifestyle instead of debilitate your lifestyle, which we all have this image of somebody sitting on the couch playing video games in their couch and locked Cheetos. And eating Cheetos. Yeah. It's hard to get past that. And the jokes, and it's fun, and we have a lot of fun laughing and joking about it, but the real truth is that you need to eat it. Now, smoking is a manipulator, so it gives you instant relief, but it only lasts about 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. When you eat it, you're going to get that relief for 6, 8, maybe even 12 hours. Okay. And so it's far better to do that. But I use cannabis. I fell 35 feet when I was 26 years old. Mm-hmm. So what brought me to the industry was that I was on opiate. I became a shut-in on those opiates. They had destroyed my life, my mind, my soul. And so I got myself off of it. I've taken over my pain management with cannabis. I live a more robust life. I walked out my door 60 days after I started using cannabis, and my friend, he was like, try it. And I'm like, oh, I need another problem, like I need a hole in my head. I said, morphine doesn't work. Percocet doesn't work. How can marijuana work? I don't need another problem. Finally, he convinced me to eat the cookie, and I had pain relief I hadn't felt in 15 years. And I was like, what's in the cookie, dude? And he's like, it's just pot, Robin. And so I started studying and looking up research, and I would go to the library because back then I was afraid if I Googled it, the DEA would be at my house arresting me, you know what I mean? And So, because this was like in 2007, you know, even myself, I was convinced the DEA was going to hunt me down just because I Googled marijuana. So I started doing research. I've read over 8,000 medical research papers on cannabis. Wow. And because I wanted to know why did this work when what my doctor was giving me wasn't wasn't working. And so that's where we started finding the solutions. I gave up 10 years of my life to my disorder. I did not live for 10 years. And I realized that we only have one life, and we have to live it to the fullest. That's and when so our true. Disorder yeah. takes that from us. So when the people came, I looked in their eyes and I was like, how many years did you give up to this disorder? And I swore when we opened our store, my sister and I, and I tell her, I call her and I said, oh, the marijuana law is changing in Colorado. Do you want to go into business? It's finally safe enough for business people like ourselves to go into this business. And she said, hell no. I don't even want my name on it. Are you crazy? What are you thinking? And I said, oh, it gave me my life back. You saw me live again. And we could do this for other people. So when we came into the arena, it wasn't to make money. It was to give people their lives back. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that generated money because people were living again. And it was just so amazing to see that change. And for people in Missouri, I'm excited for you to be able to have this option. You know, if you've had every surgery, every procedure, every pill, every therapy, and you're left with an endless grip of prescription drugs and your own means to try to survive your disorder, this is a place to come to try to find a solution. So I'm not saying cannabis is right for everyone. No, it's probably not. But if you suffer beyond what you can bear, this is a place to come to find some solution.
That's very compelling and just such a great story, and I really appreciate you sharing that because I think it really can be an answer for a lot of people. But I do want to talk a little bit about quality, because you can drive down the street right now and there's 10 different CBD shops.
And it's going to be more.
Yes. So I want to talk a little bit. Maybe both of you can answer this question. How do you determine quality? How do you know what's good, what you need, and really what works?
Well, I would suggest that you make sure that it was manufactured and the CBD came from America. Okay. CBD coming from China and some of these third world countries, it's tainted. Marijuana actually pulls toxins out of the ground. So in Colorado, we had a nuclear facility. They're growing marijuana there to take the radiation out of the ground. Oh. So cannabis will actually pull toxins out of the soil. Well, that's a good thing if you're trying to revive the soil. It's a bad thing if you're the one consuming the product. Mm. Okay, so those products have to be destroyed. So I would look for an American made. I know that products made in Colorado are tested at laboratories. Some products made in California are tested at laboratories. So look to see if it was tested in a laboratory. Most laboratories are testing for carcinogens, pesticides, and different things in the product. And also they're testing for how much CBD and THC. I touched on this a minute ago about THC and CBD. Some of these hemp products, if you're extreme in your disorder, you might not feel the benefit from that. We need to enhance a little more THC with the new law when that comes up. Mm-hmm. So right now, if you try these products and you don't get the benefit that you think you should have gotten, don't give up. Please don't give up. Because a little more THC enhanced into that program will make a night and day difference in what you see. So try these CBD products, the hemp products, the CBD only. Do not use a CBD isolate. Make sure it's a full plant extraction, because they call this the entourage effect. The cannabis plant has 480 components to it. 111 of them are cannabinoids. So researchers have discovered that using all of those elements together was more beneficial than an isolated cannabinoid use. So CBD isolates don't have the rest of the plant to make it work better. So look for full plant extraction, full spectrum, it'll say on there, that you're sure you're getting all the benefit of cannabis and all the other elements that we're not even testing or talking about yet. Mm-hmm. They're in there and they're playing their role.
Yeah.
Definitely look for it to be U.S. made. Mm-hmm. I believe the Canadians are testing. So if it comes from Canada, that would be a country I would say, yeah, that's safe mm-hmm. to use Canadian products.
Absolutely. And Anna, I know you use the CBD oil on your son, but let's talk a little bit about how you went about determining which type. to use for your son?
And yes, and I like the question because I think it'll be helpful for other people. In my case, and I use this nonprofit that maybe I can mention here. Actually, is based in Colorado. Mm-hmm. The name of the nonprofit is Realm of Caring. When you have a cannabis industry emerging in a state or in a territory, like in the case of Puerto Rico, you have different companies and nonprofit that do different things, for saying mm-hmm. that way. So there is a lot of good people in this industry, too, that wants to help. So this nonprofit called Realm of Caring, what they do is they have, like a specialist, like several doctors or several people knowing the field. And when you go to them and you explain what your kid have and the medicine that is using for his condition, because mm-hmm. my son's still using a specific medicine for his condition. So they have like this database, kind of like Robin, mm-hmm. And they explain to you what could be the best in this case brand of CBD or amount of CBD with THC that your son could use. And like Robin said, they also start like very slow. Let's start with this. Let's see how that works with him. And they kind of monitor mm-hmm. the kid until that kind of make effect. So I think it's the best way because we are not experts in this topic. So we need to look a kind of help about it, how to do this in a good way. So I would recommend to any person that wants to start in this. It's different. And I think it's important to mention that it's a difference between the hemp mm-hmm. or the CBD that the person, the people in Kansas City see right now in different stores and everything, and what is going to be the yeah. medical cannabis industry, because they, you know, they have the THC, which is control. But no matter, if it's only hemp, I would recommend that if you're interested for your kid because have epilepsy or other conditions, you ask to people that know about the topic, Robin or other nonprofits that can help, and then you could know what is the specific thing that you need to give to your kid and start from there.
Okay, wonderful.
And it's very scary for a mother and a father to make this decision.
Yeah.
Is our child, are we hurting them? Are we helping them? You know, and you know, I've watched many families struggle with that decision to do it. But most people look at their children, and a lot of these kids with these severe seizure disorders aren't going to live a full life unless they can get those seizures to go away. You know, it causes a diminished capacity. For them, they look at their children and they say, my child will never have a full life unless I do something now. Mm-hmm. We had a little girl come to us, Angelina. She was 15 months. She started having seizures at 5 months old. She had not developed at all from 5 months on. Mm-hmm. She still acted like a 5 month old. And she couldn't remember because she was having 20 seizures a day. So she never recovered from one before the next one hit. So she had no memories of reaching and grabbing and pulling things to her mouth and sitting up. She couldn't do anything that a normal child, she should have been walking, and she couldn't even sit up. And they brought her to me, and she pretty much sat, and her eyes were fixated up and to the left, you know what I mean? And she didn't look around, and she had a seizure while I was meeting with the parents. And within 3 days, we had her down to 3 seizures. Within a week, we had her at no seizures. The doctors pulled her off of Keppra because she was hallucinating and having terrors on the Keppra. So they took her off of it, and they made her go cold turkey, which usually doesn't happen. But he said, the medicine is more dangerous for her at this age than the seizure. It took us another 2 weeks to get him back under control after the Keppra is gone. She is now 3 years old. It took her about 4 months to catch up to where she had to be. And she started thriving and living, and she lives a full life because we got engaged early with her, and she's developing normally. She does not have seizures, and she has a chance at a full life. Where a lot of the children that come to us, they're already 13, 14, 15. The damage has been done. We can stop the seizures, but we can never gain back those abilities that they lost.
Yeah.
And so it's like a miracle for these little families and stuff. And when you see a little baby thriving that wasn't thriving, it gives you that drive to keep going and keep trying. And that's why I'm here in Missouri, is to to share this and to share the hope that is here and the joy. And, you know, every mom, every dad wants their child to be the same as the other children, to have that same chance. They want that so desperately. Like I said earlier, the youngest child we treated was 2 months old with seizure disorders. We treat children that have brain tumors. These kids are eating cannabis in an extreme amount every day, but they are thriving in school. They are functioning well. Their social skills are good. They're developing. And this disorder would have killed them within 3 to 5 years. They're thriving. You look at that, and you look at that chance for that child, and you're like, holy cow, you know? And so if you're afraid, if you're scared, if this stigma is so strong, read, go on the internet, start finding this stuff, educate yourself, because we're just at the tip of what this plant can do. Yeah. I wanted to say something about why. So how can one medicine treat 70 disorders? That doesn't fit anything we've ever been taught. You would never, for diabetes, take seizure medicine, but this same plant treats both. And so in understanding why that happens, we have cannabinoid receptors in our body. We were born with them. We have the two major receptors that are most talked about is the cannabinoid 1 receptor. These receptors are in your brain and your nervous system. So disorders that involve the nervous system, like essential tremors, seizures, disorders like that, you want to do a little more of the CBD in those disorders. It is the CB1 receptor that we're actually manipulating to work correctly. Now, the cannabinoid 2 receptor, it sits on the outside of every cell in your body. Well, when you try to grasp how many cells compile your body, you know, we have billions and billions of these. In 1974, researchers discovered that this was our immune system. Our immune system is a cannabinoid entity. They have found 7 different types of cannabinoid receptors in the human body. I'm sure there's more to be discovered, but they call it the endocannabinoid system. And you can look up the endocannabinoid system and see how it works. But it takes the cannabis and it knows what to do. So this plant generates 111 cannabinoids. We have cannabinoid receptors. We actually produce cannabinoids in our body. And we know when to produce them and how to produce them. Women produce cannabinoids in their breast milk. This is how we move our immune system to our infant children. Now, we knew that was a mechanism, but nobody ever told us that it was through a cannabinoid entity in our body that created that. Mm-hmm. Now, another plant that has cannabinoids that we've all heard about, echinacea. Echinacea has a few cannabinoids, but it boosts our immune system. So when you think about that, you know, there's lots of mechanisms. And the more you look at the plant and the more you look at the human body is very complex, but this plant is equally as complex. And it's almost like it was God genetically engineered it for us. And it was a gift from God. And we demonized it. Man demonized it. You know, we have to look back at what did God give us? And it is a gift. It really is. The more I looked at it, the more I believed in God and the gift that God had given us with all plants that were provided to us.
You know, I don't really remember learning about the cannabinoid system in school. I learned about the skeletal system, nervous system. Oh, that's very interesting.
Well, it was 4 years ago that they started teaching the endocannabinoid system in medical school. Yeah, they just started. And although it was discovered in 1974, but, you know, it was just buried because of what held cannabis back all these years is greed and personal agendas. Everyone has a personal agenda when it came to marijuana. Keeping it illegal was part of that agenda. You know, demonizing it, making us afraid of it was all part of that. And in 1933, do you realize that every doctor in the 1930s, 20s prescribed cannabis? Every doctor wrote prescriptions for it, for anxiety, for menstrual cramps, all kinds of things. And every pharmacist grew it and made the tinctures that we make today. We didn't invent this. We didn't make up tinctures. We went back to recipes and stuff from the 20s and 30s. And it was Congress and the DEA was invented, and they needed something to beat up. So cannabis became illegal to justify that existence. And so when you look back at the history of it, the medical world fought for cannabis. What ended up conquering them is that they taxed them out of existence. So anytime a doctor would write a prescription, they would tax them $25. Well, that's like $1,200 today. So the doctor got taxed and the pharmacist. So they basically taxed it out of existence, and the medical world gave up after 7 years of fighting for it. So it wasn't the medical world that demonized cannabis. It was Congress. It was the Senate. People that had personal agendas attached to it.
I want to talk about the economy and how this impacts the economy, because I feel like that's very, very important to know. Colorado, obviously, recreational and medicinal is legal. So just in Missouri alone, as of March 11th of this year, the pre-filed application fees have come to about $3,300,000. And that's just in the application fees. So I want to talk a little bit about what your experience has been in Colorado on the impact of this industry on the economy.
Well, in Colorado, right now, 43,000 people are directly employed by the marijuana industry. They estimate that 250,000 people are indirectly employed by the marijuana industry. So they clean our carpets, they fix our ventilation systems and our lights and different things like that. So when you look at that, when the rest of the country was in recession, Colorado never felt that impact because we had the marijuana industry to shore us up. Last year in tax revenue, we did $1.9 billion. In Colorado, our law is set up that the first $40 million from recreational taxes goes to our schools to rebuild and fix up our school system. And that's in our law to do that. But the tax revenue for the whole state is nothing but amazing. And what our politicians are able to do for us as a community was nothing short of amazing. But, you know, you look at it where, you know, I go and buy coffee on my way to work. So that gave somebody a job at the gas station, and I got my gas and my groceries. So it just went through every industry, and it allowed every industry to hire more employees and to do more because more cash was flowing through Colorado. Now, people worry about the underground, but what we found was that that legal market just almost stamped out the underground because people had variety. They could pick what they wanted. They could just run down the street and get it. So that was a good thing. You know, the amount of money in Colorado due to it, I mean, you know, some people became millionaires in the marijuana industry, but everyone benefited. And it's a great job for people that are looking to advance themselves and in a compassionate field. And everyone in the marijuana industry in Colorado, especially the vendors, the kids, the people that take care of you when you come in the store, all of them carry this little bit of compassion in their heart. And it's great to see young people get engaged in other people's lives and suffering and vision. And so what it did to elevate them and give them a good career, it was really neat to see that.
And Anna, I know you worked in Puerto Rico a little bit for with the legislation for that. So let's talk a little bit about what your experience was with that.
As you all know, Puerto Rico have a very bad economic crisis because we have a big debt. That was kind of the public policy we developed at the time I was working with the government in Puerto Rico. And definitely was a boom in the economy because, as Robin well said, that means job, means opportunities. And people get creative with this topic. So you develop different kind of professions. You have the bartender, which is the one that attended dispensary. So that's something new. And then you have classes to be a bartender. So you develop another kind of industry, giving classes access to people that wants to belong to the industry. So it's just like this ramification of jobs and different opportunities when a new industry develops in a country or in a territory. So definitely is, like we said at the beginning, it's a good thing in many, many ways, you know. It helps the economy, it gives jobs, it gives quality of life. You know, Robin was talking before, and I think that's a very important point that we need to repeat over and over again. This is about quality of life. Everyone that is listening to us have a relative that can have cancer, MS, PTSD, anxiety, depression. In this society, who don't have migraine, you know? Yeah. Like, everyone can have one of those conditions that can be treated with cannabis. And this is a release of that. This is a moment, this is a medicine that gives you a space from that pain that you can feel every day. So we are talking about quality of life, and we want to see the people we love doing better. We want the people we love without pain. That I think every one of us, if someone asks, we want that for the people we love. And we can definitely obtain that utilizing this new product that is not that new because it's been forever in the world, but using in a correct way, in a good way. Mm-hmm. So yes, in Puerto Rico was a very, very good thing for the economy, for the patients. And something that I find very interesting in Puerto Rico specifically is that the majority of the people that went to the dispensary, because we have a very big campaign of education about the good things that cannabis can bring, were the old people. People after 65, we're the majority of the participants of the industry. And sometimes you feel that those are the ones that are going to have the stigma in them and everything. No, they were the first one because they were educated and they went for their pain, you know, for their arthritis or diabetes or things like that. So it was very interesting for me to see that that population of people were the first ones that were going to the dispensaries to take the product. So, yes, it's been a wonderful thing for the island, definitely.
Yeah. And she's right. Seniors benefit the most from cannabis use. What aging brings on, cannabis can take away. Mm-hmm. And we did, because it's never been done before, we did all kinds of surveys and studies back in Colorado. And when we opened to rec, we were like, well, who's this customer? Who is this customer base? And so we surveyed everyone, and we realized that the average customer age was 48 years old. It wasn't the 20-year-olds, the 30-year-olds. It was people in their 40s and 50s were the majority of the people that came in. And that shocked us because that's not what we thought. We thought it was going to be down around 30, you know, was going to be the average person. But it wasn't. And we were shocked. When we opened to rec, we opened on January 1st, 2014. We were one of the original 9 businesses to open to the recreational use. And my sister and I, we had found this cure in medical for the 4 years. It was just medical. And when it came time to voting for recreational or adult use, we were afraid. We were afraid it was going to ruin this medicine for these people who desperately needed it. And we were kind of scared of that legalization. But what we realized is that there are only so many disorders that you can get a recommendation for in Colorado. So this allowed everyone to come. And 65% of the people on rec were looking for some kind of medical solution that wasn't on our list of disorders qualifying to get a medical use.
I see. Okay.
And so that was wow. And we were like, we can reach even more people. And most people came for a purpose. What we found was only 12% were actually partiers. Most people were treating for some form of mental health disorder and didn't even know they were. You know what I mean? But it made them right in the evening. They could let the day go and they could have their family time calmer and nicer. You know what I mean? And so that amazed us because we were afraid of the recreational. Mm-hmm. But then we realized it brought people in that really needed help, but the government didn't believe they needed help. So that was nice. And that was something we didn't expect, that demographic of people to come in.
That's very interesting because I know right now to get a patient ID card, it has to be very specific health issues. So what were some of those issues that you saw people coming in for that said, hey, I need help with XYZ, but I can't get legally, I can't get medicinal marijuana for this?
Diabetes would be one, as well as essential tremors, lupus, arthritis. Now, you can get in under the pain. So if your disorder creates pain, you know, and everybody's like, oh, it's a joke, everybody's got pain. But almost every disorder creates pain. So a lot of people could sneak under the pain qualification. What marijuana does for a diabetic is nothing short of a miracle. And 3 million people or something like that have diabetes in America. So just thinking of one disorder, you know what I mean? But there are so many of them. Athlete's foot. A marijuana salve and soap, marijuana is antifungal and antibacterial. It'll clean up athlete's foot, toenail fungus, eczema, as well as psoriasis of the skin. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Acne. Marijuana soap will clean up acne in 3 or 4 days, the worst acne you've ever seen. Well, what does that do to a person? That's not life-threatening. That's not important. But if it gives you confidence, if it makes you feel good about yourself, that is priceless.
Yeah.
So these kind of things nobody even thought of.
Yeah.
You know? And so what allowed us to go to recreational? We thought it was too soon. We didn't think people had really embraced it enough yet. But, and this will happen here in Missouri, is that when everyone in Colorado, when we voted for recreational use in 2012, everyone in Colorado knew somebody personally that was benefiting from cannabis. And that lowered that negative stigmatism down because they were like, oh, my friend, my wife's brother. You know, everybody knew somebody personally benefiting. And so then that's what opened the door for the adult use. They realized it wasn't the devil, that the world wasn't going to go to hell. We've been legal for, 5 years now? If you walk down the street in Colorado, you don't even know marijuana is legal unless somebody tells you. It didn't change anything. The world's still the same. Our state is still the same as it ever was.
Yeah.
And I think Missouri will see that as well. We're going to see the people getting the benefit. And when everyone knows somebody personally benefiting, then we're going to see it released to that recreational or to the adult use.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of my questions, too, is just there's so much knowledge to be gained in this industry and just the product itself. What is out there for people to get the information that they need, say, hey, I have this problem, I want a better quality of life. How can they get that information?
It's going to be hard, and they're going to have to, most people are going to have to trial and error. In Colorado, I'm the only one that followed this serious medical path. Most businesses provide the medicine, but they don't understand what to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's part of why I'm here, is to start this education so that people will benefit and they don't have to go through the trial and error that we went through in Colorado. So we're trying to bring that here, and we're hoping to set up forums and you know, like a 3-day forum where people can come and really learn and really understand it. And we're trying to set up programs and a computer program that allows people to log in and find more information. So all that's in the work, but the industry is just now breaking free, and each new state, unfortunately, is going to have to go through a little bit of trial and error, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
We're going to work on that, and then we hopefully we can get back to you and let you know some of these things that we have set up, because I think this summer would be a good summer of education for cannabis.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely, I agree. Is there anything that you want to talk about that we didn't ask, didn't touch on, that you think is important for listeners to know? And the same for you as well.
Yes.
Well, I think the big thing is start slow. If you decide this is something you want to do, start slow. I mean, this is generic advice. Start slow. Give yourself time. And if it doesn't work, please do not give up. To get anti-inflammatory out of marijuana, and it is a very good anti-inflammatory that doesn't cause damage to your kidneys and liver and stomach, but it's going to be 30 days before you feel the full benefit. You know, make sure that your medicine has been tested. Really try that, because there can be, not everybody has the same moral standards. Some people are just trying to make some money. Mm-hmm. And some of these CBD-only products are not going to give some people the relief that they're really looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And so don't give in to it.
Yeah.
You know, just keep fighting. Keep trying harder with your disorder. Don't give up. It's coming. The full medicine will be here soon. And just educate yourself until then.
Yes, I agree with everything she said. I think that we need to finish here telling people that if they have questions, ask. We, all of us, are learning. This is a process of education for all of us, so I appreciate this opportunity because we need to keep speaking up. We need to keep explaining to people the good things and the kindness of this industry. It's been a long time since everyone tell us that this is a bad thing, and these take time to change. So people that know better, we need to keep speaking up. We need to keep telling people again how good this industry could be in many, many ways. Of course, there are going to be things, but you know, in every industry there are going to be things. It's not about the product, it's about the people and about the circumstances. But the product itself, the plant itself, it could be something that helped a lot of people. So and as a mom that have a kid with a special need condition and epilepsy, I can testify that this can help and can change life, and we can go from there.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, ladies, so much for everything that you have talked about, all the information that you've given. I definitely appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you for letting us come and share our stories.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And that was Anna DeJesus and Robin Hackett. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Northeast Newscast. I'm Elizabeth Orozco.